Ramping up your business? The time is near. You've given it heart. Now get it in gear. It's Passage to Profit with Richard and Elizabeth Gearhart.
I'm Richard Gearhart, founder of Gearhart Law, a full-service intellectual property law firm specializing in patents, trademarks, and copyrights.
And I'm Elizabeth Gearhart, not an attorney, but I do marketing for Gearhart Law, and I have my own startups and podcasts.
Are you one of the 2 in 5 Americans wanting to start your own business or already a business owner? Stay tuned. This show is about starting and growing your business. Welcome to Passage to Profit, the road to entrepreneurship, where we learn why and how ordinary people just like you started and grew their businesses, and we also talk about the intellectual property that helps protect your innovations.
Time to move on to our last guest, last but certainly not least, Gerard Longo, who has been here before. He has the Quinspin podcast, but he's really talking about the Underground Music Collective Nashville, umcnashville.com. He's putting together this community of creators. Like, what he's doing is amazing and fascinating. So please tell us all about it.
Well, first of all, again, thanks for having me back. And I'm learning so much just from sitting here. And I hope every artist in my network who's listening to this has paid close attention to both what Ernesto, Barbara, and of course, Remy have had to say, because these are all very key components to building your business, because as an independent artist, you're also an entrepreneur. And so Underground Music Collective, of course, you know, we've gone through many different lives over the past 11 years. It started with the Quinspin. Now our primary focus right now is educating the artist into thinking like an entrepreneur. What we're doing here is we are instilling the principles of entrepreneurship into creativity, right? Because I think what happens is a lot of artists will come into the industry, come into music thinking that, you know, the whole trope of do what you love and you'll never have to work a day in your life. Do what you love and you're going to work 10 times harder, right? And you're going to have to learn all
of Yes. Yes.
Because you're building it from nothing. You're building from scratch.
I went to art school.
Yeah. And there are all these things that, like, you know, you can make art, you can make music, and you can just do that as a hobby. But if you want to turn it into a career, then there are all of these things that just simply cannot be ignored. And if you don't want to do them, you at least have to know how they work so you can delegate and hire a team to do them for you.
Yeah, I mean, in the old days, it used to be that the record companies would spot talent and they would do everything for you, right?
But they also took a huge percentage.
But nowadays, it's really up to the artist to promote themselves, and they have to be business people or at least have strong relationships with people who are business people who can handle this entrepreneurial piece.
Absolutely. And I'm so glad you said that, because the artist, the creative in general, even if you're not a musician, you have more power at your disposal than you've ever had before. You have all the tools. Social media is a tool. Spotify, if you're a musician, is a tool. Like, you have all these tools to collect data and figure out what to do with that data, kind of like we talked about before in the opening segment. And it's up to you to take the action on that. You don't need to sit and wait for somebody to come give you an opportunity. And I think what happens mindset-wise, it's this whole idea, again, of like, not only do what you love and you'll never work a day in your life, but somebody's just going to recognize your talent and discover you. That doesn't happen, at least not the way we think. I've seen so many people move to Nashville, having lived there for 5.5 years, and like, oh, well, I just need to go out and busk. I need to go out and play writer's rounds, and someone's going to find me. You've got to do the work. You've got to build relationships, and you have to know what to do from there. You have to know what to do with the data, the information. You have to know how to follow up. And with relationships, you have to know how to provide value. What value are you giving to the relationship in exchange for the value that you're getting back?
You're 100% correct. I think for a lot of creative stuff, like podcasts especially, 70% is marketing for podcasts. I feel like that's my personal opinion. And for these creators, marketing, do you remember Milli Vanilli?
Mm-hmm. I sure do. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And they were lip syncing the whole time, right? But they were what the people in control thought they could market.
Yeah. And the other great thing about the day and age that we live in is you get to decide based on your values what your mission and vision are. And from there, you get to attract your audience. And then again, it's that game of figuring out exactly how to keep them engaged, how to grow that audience. But as an independent coach, you know, when I was last on the show, we had first launched our coaching program officially. We've been at this, you know, officially with the UMC Academy for a little over a year. I start with the values. I call it my VMV method: values, mission, and vision. The reason we start with values is because you have to know who you are and why you're doing this. Not only so you can connect that to your audience, but let's be honest, this ain't easy. And it's going to light your dark hours where fame and money or the prospect of those things won't, right? So you have to know your purpose. You have to know why you're doing this, and you have to know what you want to put into the world, and then turn that into your mission, which is to say, what do those values empower you to do in the world? And your vision, which are, what does it look like, sound like, feel like? What kind of experience does it create? How does it make that world a better place? How does it create that impact for your audience? How does it connect them to you and to each other?
But if you're authentic to who you are, it will resonate with every single person that you come in contact with, whether it's your audience or the people that you work with.
Absolutely. You can't fake that either.
Nope.
Eventually, it's going to catch up to you. Right?
Be a one-hit wonder again, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's the thing. Lightning can strike for anybody, right? But to sustain that, like we look at Taylor Swift right now. Mm-hmm. In my opinion, Taylor Swift is the greatest of all time when it comes to engaging her audience and keeping them there because of the ways that she's created that connection, the ways that she inserts things into her songs, into her videos, into her experiences that her audience can relate to, pick up, and make their own. And the way that she continues that conversation, the way she presents herself as a real person, telling her story through these experiences, in my opinion, has been second to none, especially when you consider the longevity. She's been at it, what, almost 20 years in the mainstream now.
And she's more popular now than ever.
Engagement is not just the innate talent of the person. It's all of these other factors that you're talking about.
Mm-hmm. And another thing she has, she is a remarkable businesswoman. She knows how to market herself. She knows how to surround herself with people
who know what they're doing.
Exactly. She has built a world-class team. And that's another important key. You can't do it by yourself. And you need to identify the people you need to surround yourself with, what skills they bring to the table, the culture that you're creating within your organization. Another great example of this is Bon Jovi. The documentary just came out. Thank you. Good night. And John, in the early 90s, saw that they were kind of going down the path of touring too much, getting burnt out, kind of going down the path of a lot of their contemporaries. Fired the management team, fired a bunch of other people, took the reins, and decided that he was going to be the quarterback of the organization. And look at them now. Yep. You know, he got them into group therapy. He got them, you know, moving in directions that bands at that time, in the late 80s, early 90s, weren't moving. And here we are in 2024,
it's
just released an album. Yeah.
I think you bring up a really good point. And that is that trust in an organization and a business organization really is important. Because if you're second guessing the people that you're working with, you're spending a lot of time checking out what they're doing. You're not making decisions as easily and as quickly because you're like, well, I have to go check this out before I can just give this person the project. That is really key. And I think that's one of the great things that's kind of evolved in our business culture over the years is the notion that you really do have to have trust amongst your business team members because without it, your organization just doesn't function as
it's
efficiently.
It's not strong. The foundation is not strong. It's like Ernesto and I have my lane. He has his. We work it together. But we each have our responsibilities that are our focus.
She tells me to stay in my lane a lot.
Well, you know, you got to keep them in their lane.
That's where I think kind of to bring it back to coaching and the academy, it helps to have a mentor who's been there. It helps to have somebody in your circle who can like recognize patterns before maybe as somebody who's newer to this and shrink down the time it takes to get to where you want to go.
Right. How did you get started with that?
You know, it's funny because like originally I was, you know, taking odd jobs for people like, you know, okay, post on my social media about gigs, you know, come and do this freelance thing, take my photos, whatever, like just cobbling it together. And I would always end up coaching them. They would always end up coming to me for advice. They'd always end up coming to me like, what do you think about this? And what direction should I go? And eventually I was just like, I should just launch a program, base it on the foundation of what I've built here, which is, you know, merging art and entrepreneurship. You know, Underground Music Collective is a creative platform, but I've had to learn these lessons myself. And the thing is, I always say this, I meet you where you are. I walk with you instead of come at you. And I don't teach you anything I haven't had to already learn myself, even though I'm not an active musician. I will drop the mixtape one day, but not yet. Like, there are so many parallels between this journey and the journey of an artist because you are building something from zero. I literally started my podcast in my childhood bedroom 11 years ago with a USB mic and a laptop. Somehow we're still kicking.
So if you meet a new potential client, what are the steps that you go through to kind of get them started on the right path?
We have a free consultation at first. You know, we identify identify what your goals are. We identify what you really want to pull out of your art, the direction you want to go, the types of connections you want to make, right? And, you know, part of that consultation is also to make sure we're a good fit for each other, because just like not everyone's ready for management, not everyone's necessarily ready for coaching. A lot of times, you know, especially when people are starting out, folks don't necessarily realize that they need that or what the value of it's going to be. So somebody who comes to me, chances are already has an idea of the value of it, what they're going to look to get out of it. And we're going to be able to identify ways during that consult to help each other and move forward. And then, of course, we start with the VMV, with the values, the mission, the vision. We work on the audience connection, identifying that audience, which, surprise, is in line with you and your values, your mission, your vision. And then we take all that information, we devise ways to get more of those people in, track the data, identify opportunities, and then we go from there to approaching those opportunities, building more relationships. I have a course that I'm actually teaching in Pennsylvania at a conference, the Music Fest Music Industry and Education Conference, August 2nd, called Perfect Your Pitch, which covers all of this from, okay, who am I and what do I do as an artist, to how do I get on festivals? How do I get media placements? How do I find partners and sponsors? And what it comes down to is relationships, building that strong foundation, building relationships not only with your audience, but with the tastemakers, but also it comes back to that value. What value are you giving them to not only listen to you, but to want to do business with you, to want to have that relationship with you?
So have you ever found it to be the case that people with sort of less intrinsic talent do better in the music industry than those who have more music ability because of their business skills?
I'm ready to talk about Bon Jovi and Bruce Springsteen.
To that point, John, you know, has even said, like, I'm not the best singer in the world. I'm not the best player in the world. I'm the hardest worker in the world. You know, so it's exactly that point. But I love that question because Perfect Your Pitch, that course I mentioned, starts with what I call the two harsh yet simple truths. That especially if you haven't heard these yet, you might be shocked or even dismayed to hear. Number one is being a good musician is not enough. And number two is you have to give people a reason to care. So I think it's not necessarily that people who are more or less talented are more successful. I think it's your relationship with that talent as the thing that's going to take you there. Because talent alone won't do it. You think about it. There are thousands, if not millions, of people with musical talent in the world who, if they applied that talent, could make a run at this thing and, of course, followed all these steps, right? But what sets you apart? And what sets you apart is the way that you connect, are the systems you have in place, the people you have on your team, and how you bring that all together.
Gerard, some of the value that I see, certainly right off the bat for what you bring, a lot of people don't want to deal with someone who's green. So the fact that you're providing a safe opportunity for them to grow and mature and start setting realistic goals and expectations, then it's possible, yeah, you could get their attention.
I end up working with some of my clients on different projects after they've graduated, right? Like there are a couple right now who have either graduated or getting ready to. And we're talking more about, okay, how can we collaborate? How can we help each other build and grow and win?
What do you think the absolute biggest challenge is?
Realizing that it's the long game. There's this idea that we have and that is just projected toward us, you know, that overnight success is a real thing. And it's not. But I think a lot of the challenge is realizing that this takes time and this takes work and it takes trial and error. So that's what I'm here for now, is to help people cut down that window of trial and error so they can get to where they want to go.
Gerard Longo, how do people find you?
UMCNashville.com is our central hub. UMC Nashville on Instagram, TikTok, Threads, all of those. You can also find the Quinn Spin podcast, Two Ends and Quinn, Two Ends and Spin, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, YouTube, and more. That's where you can find me and find us. And then also musicfest.org has information on that conference if you're going to be in the Northeast August 1st and 2nd, the Music Fest Music Industry and Education Conference.
Where is the conference?
It's in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, attached to the largest free outdoor music festival in the country.
Passage to Profit is a nationally syndicated radio show appearing in 31 markets across the United States. Thank you to the P2P team, our producer Noah Fleischman, and our program coordinator Alicia Morrissey and Rissikat Busari. Look for our podcast tomorrow anywhere you get your podcasts. Our podcast is ranked in the top 3% globally. You can also find us on Facebook, Instagram, X, and on our YouTube channel. And remember, while the information on this program is believed to be correct, never take a legal step without checking with your legal professional first. Gearhart Law is here for your patent, trademark, and copyright needs. You can find us at gearhartlaw.com and contact us for a free consultation. Take care, everybody. Thanks for listening, and we'll be back next week.